This is Mythical.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nicole, these cooking TikToks are getting out of hand.
They must be stopped at all costs.
Don't you guys have a cooking TikTok?
Yeah, but we're cool.
Okay.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Inaiti.
And today we have a very special guest joining us. Please welcome YouTuber and friend of Mythical, Harvest Johnson.
We talked about this.
I have a Colombian cousin.
Jarvis.
Jarvis, no, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes.
We specifically wanted to talk to you about the idea. Okay, so we were initially going to call this, does TikTok have a food waste problem?
Right.
Because you made an incredible video called Wasting Food for Clout.
Yeah.
That outlined good video.
A great, fantastic video. I hate that you got scooped by Ryan Sutton from Eater.
Oh, that did happen. But you know what? It continued. This led me on a dark path of every time someone was doing something suspicious with food, I would get tagged on Twitter or Instagram. And I've also been like DMCA'd by some of the people who do these, you know, food things, rightly, actually. I think I did just like take a clip on Twitter and go, this is weird. And I'm like, you know what?
Sure.
Fair game.
Yeah.
While it hasn't been my beat as of late, it is a place I spent a lot of my time. So I'm excited to speak about it today.
When I see a conventionally attractive white woman in a very well-lit kitchen pouring spaghetti and processed cheese on a marble countertop, I think of you.
And that's what I want.
Oh, good. Good.
Has anybody ever tagged you in any of our content?
No. So maybe that's a sign that you need to get a little more unhinged.
I think we might need to,
they need to call in reinforcements.
I don't think it's humanly possible for us to get more unhinged, but.
Because we get a lot of comments from people. We try and not waste food. So for people that don't know, what we're talking about are these genres of TikTok, actually a lot of them explode on Facebook, but short form food videos where people will deliberately make food that is so, so, so terrible and unhinged and is generally very large quantities that are obviously getting scooped right into a trash can. They get millions upon millions of views.
A lot of times they're doing it on a counter and there's no dishware to speak of.
Nope.
There's always someone off camera who's very surprised at what's going on.
Yeah.
As if they're not holding the camera and in on the entire thing.
There's a very specific style. Like, it has created its own rules within the genre.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it's like when you hear music nerds talk about, like, dubstep, and somebody's like, that's not dubstep. Dubstep has 32 half beats on a counter measure.
Right.
You're like,
really subverted the sitcom, like, formula with this one. Yeah.
But think about Community. It's a meta commentary on this format.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, what it has become. This it's its own medium.
Yeah, they're all like semi believable, right? There's that uncanny valley area where you're like, God, is somebody actually doing this? And especially from a food person's perspective. So there's a video where the lady pours a bunch of jars of Prego sauce, which Prego ended up trending on Twitter because of it.
Yes.
No way.
They're a fine jarred sauce. And every time I try a new jarred sauce, I'm disappointed. Might as well buy Prego.
Prego is the best.
Might as well.
No,
jarred sauce kind of sounds like an alternate universe version of my name. Jarvis jarred sauce.
But they're, okay, so speaking of pouring food directly on countertops,
you
know what I'm about to bring up. You know what I'm about to bring up.
Because
there's a very legit dish.
Oh, the polenta.
It's called polenta alla spianatora.
Yes, I love that.
And spianatora, hear me out. Spianatora is like a large wooden board, and it used to just be served on people's wooden tables.
Sure.
But you make sure it's cleaned and sanitized.
Yeah.
And then you take just a ton of polenta, and you pour it out while it's liquidy, and you spread it across the table so it then kind of hardens. And then you take just like bolognese cooked with like pork neck and a little bit of that salchicha, that sausage, and you just throw it directly on there and everybody sits around and eats with their hands. Or a Filipino kamayan feast.
Sure, that's
similar
another
thing.
Example.
They'll line the table with banana leaves being directly on the table. So as a food person, I'm watching these videos.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, this might be slightly serious.
Right. You're like, I'll hear you out because there's a, I can contort myself into a reasoning that this makes sense. This could be legitimate.
100%.
Yeah, but do you think they're inviting their friends over after they shoot that video to partake in the food debauchery?
They don't have friends. They are characters. Yeah. Like they're not real people. The people that are in those videos, they exit the world of that video and they have whole entire lives where they're not thinking about spaghetti on the counter. They're thinking about what preschool their child is going to go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a weird universe that they. This is their job.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Against all odds, this has become their job, which is the way that I look at this.
I think it's a beautiful thing about the internet is that we have, you know, we used to live in this like homogeneic media landscape where you listen to the radio and there were like five artists Elvis Presley was everywhere and you had to be a fan of him because where else, what else were you going to listen to, right? Mm-hmm. And then we've had this like media stratification where you can niche down into your most specific interests. And from that, these people have risen up and found, much like the, you know, Ice Cream So Good TikTok NPC thing.
Pinky Doll, we love her.
Pinky Doll, like, it's amazing. But I think it's a beautiful outcropping of, like, the stratification of media. Everyone can find a weird thing, and some stuff bubbles up. And some of the stuff that bubbles up is weird to me.
I don't even know if I'd say that some of the stuff that bubbles up is weird. The stuff bubbles up because it's weird, and that's by design, right? Like, you talked about these videos having a very specific format, and that's all to game some sort of engagement and outrage. Yeah. And the fact that all these algorithms on all these social media platforms, all these publishers, they simply function on what is new, what is immediate, and what is outrageous. Mm-hmm. And so,
and this, what's going to garner interactions, positive or negative?
100%. And they there's a negativity bias in humans in general. So if somebody calls up your house, right? Political pollsters. So many of the political polling numbers now are weird because the method of data collection has changed.
Who's going to answer the phone at 4 p.m.?
Who freaking hates Gavin Newsom so goddamn much that they need to tell a stranger about it.
Or someone who doesn't have anything like that they feel like do. Like, I think that I think that there's an older generation that I am not a part of who, when they get a phone call, they're like, let's chat.
Yeah.
But that's not something that I personally, and maybe it's not generational. Maybe it's just like cultural too, or like, or just specifically how you grew up. But if someone calls me, it feels like an emergency.
Did you have a landline?
Not anymore.
Yeah. No. Me either. I don't have a landline.
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. But when I was in middle school, I had a friend whose dad didn't have a landline, and I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
What do you mean you don't have a landline?
Yeah.
How do you talk to your friends? How do you get on the internet?
I love answering scam calls and then just having nice conversations with them.
I do too.
Yeah, but that's more for the bit. One thing I want to get into is, and I know it's foolish to try and put anything into a good, bad binary, especially when it comes to the wild world of the internet.
Okay.
But like, one could call these videos bad for society, right? They're deliberately one.
I agree.
If you make a video like this, it simply begets more videos like that, right?
Especially if they're successful.
Yeah,
right? 100%. Anything that's successful will inevitably have a bunch of copycats because we all want to figure out how to crack the algorithm, how to break through, and then when someone does it, so people are going to be like, "What about that succeeded? I'm going to try to mimic it."
100%. And then
copycats.
Everything. All these algorithms are shaded towards negativity. They're also shaded towards extremism. You know, you like watch one video about like, oh, is there like a slight issue with the vaccine? And then five videos later, it's like, well, Obama was a shapeshifter and a lizard person. Right. So that means that the aliens are going to rebuild the pyramids.
Or even the like the Mr. Beastification of things where like things need to be bigger and bigger and bigger to the point of like, I think Mr. Beast videos are like an incredible, like, how did this get made? Like, it breaks my brain what it is, but they start and it's like, we've got the biggest explosion. Also, we drove a car into a hole. Tony Hawk's here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like,
the components of this.
Yeah. And but even Mr. Beast has said that he can't give away more money in his videos because it's crossed over to the point where people don't believe it's real. People are like, if I give $10,000, that's fine. If I give $50,000, but if I give $1 million, people are like, fake. But it's like, I really did it.
Oh, there's like, literally somebody that's being shorted money from Mr. Beast because nobody will believe that's real. The logical end goal for so many of these videos where it's somebody just pouring crap on countertops, and you know, you're going to get wasted. To me, I don't know this man's name. However, he goes on there and goes, this is how I make peanut butter and jelly. And this man will have 10 gallons of jelly. There'll be a single piece of white bread.
Oh,
yeah. He'll have 10 gallons of jelly. And then he pours it and then he says, perfect. Does anybody know what I'm talking
about? I know who that is.
It is the pure logical end result of all of these videos where they're like, what if we skipped all of the things that we thought we made, they made this format successful, and we simply wasted 10 gallons of food?
Yeah, that reminds me of like the Grimace Shake phenomenon.
Yes.
Where we kind of witnessed in real time, like it started, someone made a little joke, and then they were like, I need to, you know, yes and, I need to escalate this.
Yes.
And then it escalated to the point of like people completely missing the point and like going into a McDonald's and like slapping the shake out of someone's hand and making a huge mess. And it's
horrible,
like, what
times.
Have we become?
Horrible times.
You know, what are we doing?
It's like in any friend group, it's like you start pranking each other, and then one person's prank is like, oh, I'm just going to hit this person in the back of the head with a 2x4. Isn't that funny? And we're like, Alex.
It's not funny, Alex.
That's true.
You always play too rough.
Right.
It was Alex.
I will say
group.
This, Josh.
It sounds like an Ed and Eddie episode.
I will say, whenever I see those like 10-gallon peanut butter pouring on a single slice of bread, there's also creators that actually, they take that 10 gallons of peanut butter and they show you useful ways to do it. So I've seen those.
It's a weird carbon write-off that isn't real. It's not real.
No, no, no. I swear. You actually see the peanut butter levels go lower. And he's like, okay, this is the last scoop of peanut butter. I guess I'm just going to put in a shake. So for all of that, like, craziness and clicks and views and whatever, there's also some people out there that actually want to show people how to use food if they
how
ever
to shop
are.
At Costco effectively.
Yeah, if people are, you know, buying things at Costco and buying things at home, there's actually some, it's a small percentage, but there's people out there, they exist somewhere.
I'm dubious to that claim.
I don't disagree at all, but I do think the market for practicality is probably smaller than the market for spectacle, you know?
Yeah, you're literally talking to people that make $500 Big Macs.
Right.
Yeah. And we eat that whole Big
so
Mac.
Good.
Oh, you got to pry us away from those $500 Big Macs. And there, we also do waste a lot of food. It is simply, this is, I'm going to have generally unpopular and self-immolating beliefs about this.
After you.
Nobody is going to like me for my general stance on this, right? This is the only way you and I know how to make money. Good for you for figuring out how to make money without wasting food, Jarvis.
Okay. Who's to say I don't waste food in my private life?
Well, that's actually something I was going to get to, right? So we waste a certain amount of food here. We do take a lot of efforts to not waste it.
Absolutely.
Every Friday we put out, this is just our like confessional episode to you, by the way. But every Friday we put out all of the groceries from our fridge and we just put them on the table. All of our coworkers come with literal tote bags and shop for themselves.
That's right.
I get first dibs though.
Me too.
Yeah. Anyways, but we do that and we make monthly donations to the Hollywood Food Bank.
That's
we
right.
physically drive food wherever we can. There is necessarily going to be a lot of food wasted on any sort of food shows.
That's
and any restaurant.
And any restaurant.
And any grocery store.
In your home, 30 to 40% of all food produced in America ends up in a landfill.
So
for the first time in human history, we have figured out how to produce too much food for the human population. And there are people, several people in America, that are hungry and food insecure. And the reason they are not getting food is not because food shows are putting it in the trash.
That's right.
It is because of supply chain issues and there is no profitability in helping the poor. Like that is simply it. We have hundreds of millions of tons of cheese sitting in caves.
Oh yeah, cheese caves.
Have you heard
of the cheese caves?
Only briefly have I heard about the cheese. I would love to learn more.
Caves in Missouri, I mean, so much of it has to do with farm subsidies, right? Mm. So World War II, we needed to figure out how to modernize the American farming system. So they built refrigerated trucks and they had this big public works program to getting electricity out to these rural farms to try and get us to just like completely quintuple the amount of American dairy production so we could powder that milk and send it to the troops to beat Hitler.
Right.
And we did. And then we did Hitler's dead or in the Yucatan Peninsula somewhere. I don't know, who knows. But then we came back and we're like, oh God, we have too much milk.
Right.
And so we basically, so much of the economy ran off of these dairy subsidies, and American farmers have always been a huge part of both the economy and the political lobbying process.
Right.
That we're like, we have so much more milk than people can drink or than we feel like getting to them.
Mm-hmm.
So the government cheese program was born, mandatory school lunch milks.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
The Got Milk campaign.
Yep. The Got Milk campaign.
Yep.
We had a poster of Shaq with a milk mustache
good
in
times.
Our library.
Is there a similar reason to why corn is in everything?
Oh, it's like almost the exact same reason.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. That, it just became the...
I like to learn, so this is great for me.
Yeah.
You're in the right place.
All of it has to do with, right, it was like 100 years ago, more than 40% of Americans lived on farms, and now it's like 4%.
Right.
And so everything has been consolidating via vertical integration, so you get these monstrous companies like Monsanto.
Own everything, yeah.
Sure.
That own everything.
Top to bottom, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and also monoculture farming, basically... destroys the soil to the point where we can't even rotate different vegetables and different crops in there.
Right.
So they just need to grow more corn to find more market for more corn to then patent more corn seeds. So the point is, the food waste problem in America is so invisible to so many people, and we are all a culprit in it. So of that 30 to 40% of food that gets wasted every single year, a lot of it's in the industrial side of it, right?
Yeah.
You put 100,000 apples onto a truck. Some of those apples are going to spoil. Some of them are going to bruise.
Naturally,
all this stuff. Dairy subsidies. Farmers are paid to just spray milk into the ground because there's no real thing that happens because they have no market for it. And packaging that milk and getting it to people would be more expensive than them just spraying
dumping
it to the ground.
It, yeah.
But then in our own homes, we buy so much food in such large quantities. I remember a roommate bought a 10-pound bag of spinach from Costco. Do you know how big a 10-pound bag of spinach is?
I just think of how not dense a spinach leaf
Correct.
Is.
And
like, the whole size of the fridge almost.
It was a MyPillow.
Yeah, that's
the MyPillow
really
guy came out.
Yeah, Mike or whatever. Yeah, that's funny.
And I had to make a giant tray of spanakopita just to try and use up this person's spinach that otherwise would have gone to waste.
And I feel like you were one of the few people who could go, how can I do 100%. This? Yeah. You know, because I've bought a tiny bag of spinach and not used it.
Same.
Because I couldn't, God, too complicated.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. Correct.
We've all been there.
No, that's
we've
everybody,
all been
though.
There. That we've
like,
all been
we,
there.
We buy aspirationally, right?
Oh, true.
When we shop.
So true.
Very true.
That's very
we're
true.
We're like, I'm going to be a new person. New Jarvis is going to buy a whole head of cauliflower and cut it up himself.
Yeah. And, ooh, and it's going to be so tasty. Oh, no, I'm tired. And I don't want to do anything, actually.
I have a whole bag of parsnips, haven't touched it in a week.
Yeah, right. I got
just
carrots
rotting.
Wilting in my
just
fridge
rotting.
Right now.
Yeah, it's really
ooh,
disappointing.
I told myself I'd make stuffed bell peppers tonight with a little mirepoix in there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to want to do that.
No, 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 sir.
I'm going to order Zanku chicken. It costs $18.
Oh, but it's so good, the Zanku chicken.
Oh my God, Zanku chicken?
Every
food
time.
Poisoning. Can't do it anymore.
Every time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The point is, food waste is like such a multifaceted issue that we're all sort of part of in our own ways. But that doesn't neglect the fact that these videos are so hyper visible and then also sort of like lead to more. But again, they're a business, right?
Yeah.
If we made, if all of our videos were like, here's how to use your parsley stems, congrats.
I wish.
We wouldn't have a job.
Yeah. That's
you know?
True.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I think that, again, like spectacle sells.
Yeah.
And I think that like that's the market that, the attention market, I guess, that we exist in now. You have to figure out how to grab people's attention with food if that's your beat. If you want to do food entertainment, oh my God, that's something that's been done for decades and decades. Yeah. People want to see something new and interesting. So then you get like
the mad scientists of TikTok that start. I was watching something in the car where, like, somebody was after I parked here. I was
driving.
I got here 10 minutes early, and I was parked, and I was like, "Let me just watch something." And my friend had sent me this guy. I think it's Eli's Kitchen or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Where they're like food processing some bologna, and they were pouring some dairy in it. I was like, I think it's supposed to look gross, but then he actually tries it and is trying to go for something like mad scientist style. Mm-hmm. I didn't stick around. I was like, no, thank you. This is too nasty for me. But, you know, some people are like, yes, even grosser.
Yeah. I mean, we made a Gordon Ramsay's Beef Wellington, but with only ingredients found in a 7-Eleven.
That's right.
And wrapped a bunch of pureed hot dog that had basis in French cookery. We made a sort of farce with egg whites, much like you'd make a seafood mousseline, albeit with hot dogs.
Bad times.
And we didn't eat that.
Of course,
we didn't eat that. That went right in the trash.
We tried it.
That video got us millions upon millions of views, which pays for us to have healthcare. Then also, I believe, led to paid integrations.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
Again, are the cornerstone of the business. And the way I think about that is Eddie Burback.
Eddie Burback,
we're all friends
friend
with
of
Eddie.
The show.
Terrible person. What?
I'm sorry,
always
monster.
Saying this, always saying this.
Yeah.
Sorry,
what?
Why?
Everybody's now.
I think he's great. His mustache is fantastic.
How many carbon emissions and how much gas did he use up to drive to every rainforest cafe in America?
It's like one of those, you could ask that question about almost everything that everyone.
Everything.
That's which is the thing. It's like, if you choose to take that angle, then you're going to find problems with everything.
100%.
That's very true.
Right? So anytime you are producing anything, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be an amount of waste. And if you're coming at it from an environmental angle, right, which a lot of the food waste stuff is, methane production coming from landfills,
right,
stuff like that, or even just a general ethical angle, you're going to be able to find anything that you can, you know, sort of, I don't want to say complain to minimize it, but that's the real thing.
Can we back up? Because I think I understand something, but maybe the audience is probably smarter than me, but I'm just going to say. So my understanding about the landfill problem is like the simple-minded person like myself would go, oh, it's food, it's biodegradable, it can just go in the ground and kind of feed the soil.
Yeah.
But what I understand is that when there's so much food bio waste like packed and packed and packed in these landfills, it just generates a bunch of methane, which is bad for the environment and doesn't actually like – it kind of is too – it just doesn't work to – like that whole process doesn't happen.
No, if we were like actively turning every piece of food scrap into compost, one, America eats too much Velveeta to turn into compost, but, like, for real. And then it's also, you know, the packaging and all that stuff that's going in there. But that's the way that I understand it.
Yeah.
You know, but then I think there's something so unique about food waste in videos that gets people so riled up and reasonably is that you can imagine that spaghetti on that counter and you're imagining, you know, a hungry child.
Right.
Sure. That spaghetti could have gone into that child's mouth. Right.
Yes.
Like if you're watching someone make chocolate sculptures on TikTok. Okay, this isn't like chocolate doesn't have this immense nutritional value, whereas like they're making food where the ingredients could have been something that they ate that night for dinner.
But they couldn't have been, I guess is my point.
Mm.
They simply couldn't have been, right? Because we have at every single step in the process before that spaghetti got to that Lysol countertop to be turned into commerce, right? For the person, for Rick Lax, the Facebook magician who's the ringleader of all this.
I heard recently that,
That's nice.
We should talk about Rick Lax and this, like later because I've heard that Rick Lax Productions is like not around anymore and like some of the people have gone off to do their own outrage content and then other new people have taken up the mantle of food waste or of the ridiculous countertop food situation. But
the BuzzFeed I left Rick
Lax.
Let me watch those teary-eyed videos. You just like, I don't know, smear Orville Redenbacher popcorn all over your face and then say, my friends are coming over later. This is going to be delicious. What was I talking about?
You were talking about how
I'm mad about something.
So people get angry because they can imagine that food being fed to someone.
At every single point in the production process of that food, from the growing of the wheat to the packaging at the pasta factory to the stocking of the shelves to that being transported on trucks, at every single point in that production process, something was wasting significantly more food than the person who actually put it on the counter, right?
Ooh, so what I'm hearing is that this is more like a pushing consumer responsibility, like where it's actually like corporate responsibility, like this tried and true thing that's happened with capitalism, I guess, where 100%. It's like, okay, yeah, where everybody's like recycle, but then really the people who are like doing all the waste is like these big corporations that we can't see. We as individuals, we have no ability to like regulate.
We can't.
Dried pasta. Dried pasta is a bad example because that can sit on a shelf for forever. But one really interesting thing is, we've talked about this in the podcast before, sell by, use by,
expiration dates.
Yeah. But when you say expiration, what does that mean? Because they're now saying sell by. And there's no scientific basis in any of these. They're saying sell by or use by. Mm. So if you see use by on that, yogurt is the best example, right?
Okay.
Yogurt's already rotten. Is really yogurt, the point.
Yogurt just makes more yogurt.
Yogurt is how they figured out how to consume milk before history was written down. They've been making yogurt, right? You're putting it in a fridge. That's going to last forever. Yogurt turns into more yogurt. I know if there's mold on it, don't eat it, but...
Remove the mold.
But if you, the average consumer...
But if it's like in an airtight seal, the odds that mold, you know...
Yeah, it's just more bacterial growth, which is how yogurt is made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like getting mold on blue cheese. It's like, well, that's the point.
And
I've talked to actual food scientists about this, but there's a huge lobbying effort to be like, don't let them put sell-by dates on it because their goal is to get you to buy more yogurt. Yogurt company's goal isn't to feed you nutrition. Their goal is to get you to buy more freaking yogurt.
Right, because they have quarterly sales goals.
Yeah, they got to make money.
And they can manufacture, you know, like the cynic in me could say they could just, if numbers, if like sales are not where they need to be, they could just move that date back, shrink that window of consumability, and now you have to replace it more often and make them more money. Okay.
No, you're 100, and that actually does happen. But that's why they lobby so they can use, you know, those sort of labels on it. And so, I don't know, my thing is there just needs to be more corporate responsibility. And then for people, you don't need to go to Costco, right? Like you don't need to buy. And if you're feeding, if you're John and Kate plus 8, wait, are they bad? It was the other ones that were even worse though,
Kind of. The Duggars are worse.
That's the one.
The Duggars are worse. They've got drama for sure, but let's pretend it's 2004.
Okay. Single Ladies is on the airwaves. Listen, the Duggars are bad, but they probably needed Costco. They needed a lot more than Costco. You know, but like they needed Costco. But most people don't. And Americans significantly overbuy.
Sure.
And 30 to 40% of not only all food in the production system, all food in refrigerators goes to waste. Right? Anything you see online, I know it's hyper-visible and it hurts to see that, but it is a drop in the bucket and it's simply a necessary part of our jobs.
Breathe.
I buy paper towels at Costco.
Me too.
Which is, I probably wasteful. I should use more towels, like reusable towels and wash them. But then I'm like, oh no, the water consumption. I can't do the math. I don't know how to do the optimization. Like what is the right thing to do? How do I be a mindful consumer?
I think you're trying your best. I would like to think that everyone on planet Earth is trying their best. But I think whenever they wake up, they're like, I can't do this anymore. So they have a come to Jesus moment with themselves. And they're like, I don't want to use paper plates anymore. I don't want to use paper towels anymore. But not me. I still use both of those things thoroughly.
Do you guys think free will exists?
Ooh.
Like,
Why are you asking me that right now? About consumer responsibility.
Yes, of course it does.
Which, like, I want to believe could be a thing, but I don't think it is. I think we're all just sort of subject to market forces.
Free will definitely exists.
I mean, I think that, okay, hold on. I think that free will is like, we need to zoom in a little bit from free will because that, like, is a deterministic, like, whole universe thing, which. We're not going to crack that today, but I do think that what you're saying about market forces is very valid because the average consumer has so many concerns in their life that are not how do I be the most efficient, mindful, responsible consumer. It's like I've got bills to pay, I've got mouths to feed, and if there's a little bit of food waste while I'm feeding those mouths, that's not going. That's not my biggest concern.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
You know, that's not the end of the world, and so. The inertia, like the friction, you are going against the grain to combat those market forces. Mm-hmm. And so to your point, I think that the average person or en masse, we are all going to just go with the flow of those market forces.
Whatever's easiest. Yeah.
Because whatever's easiest, it's like we've got so many, you know, stressors in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so you have to choose to add a new stressor to your life to go against those market forces, you know?
There's only so much stress we can take, you guys.
Is there any validity in urging people to consume content on the internet more efficaciously in the same sense we could urge them to consume better in real life. So for instance, no. I have pledged, because I'm a good person, to stop watching the videos on Twitter that show up in my feed now that say, teacher knocks student out.
Why are those? It makes me
everywhere.
So mad.
Oh, the fake ones?
My feed is watching.
It's called watching. Crazy clips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're in a classroom. And we're like, oh, what's the teacher going to do? Is he going to go like, is it a right cross? And I realized that I was watching them. And I'm like, I hate myself for this. Yeah. I'm going to block all these accounts and I'm going to never consume that again.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm mad that those have just entered everyone's feed. It feels in the most dystopian thing. It's like we are now being. I've never had like so many thoughts about an algorithm before this moment in time with Twitter, where I'm like, whatever, I'm seeing my friends' posts out of order, you know, because that was the whole thing about chronological feeds. But now I'm being forced to watch like fights and grotesque videos and kind of like the morbid curiosity of society now leaking
into... You're talking to Rotten.com kids. So
right. I'm like, why is this happening? It makes me so mad. Elon, stop it, please. Yeah, this is my call. This is my plea.
Well, at the end of the day, we're all simply salmon swimming upstream, hoping against hope that we can do just a little drop of good in our communities. Everybody, spay and neuter your pets.
Are you guys still going to go to buffets after this?
No, I actually don't go to buffets.
Good for you.
You can pry my all-you-can-eat buffets out of my cold,
I've heard
dead,
there's really good
hand.
Buffets somewhere, though, in place. Like, I've heard Vegas has really good buffets.
I go to Reno. I'm a Reno guy.
Okay,
Vegas has the best buffets.
Are you going to buffets? Are you ethically opposed?
I don't like buffets. I think they're whack. I think they're a waste of time, money, and energy.
Oh, wait. While we're here, how do we feel about, like, 7-Eleven food that's been heated for God knows how long?
It's food safe. I trust the science as long as it's above 140 degrees.
I agree.
Okay, cool.
God bless 7-Eleven.
I figured that's what... Because I'm like, there's no way that this huge corporation is, like, feeding people poison. I don't think... But I also understand why people are like, that's gross.
Poison!
The last botulism death in America was from gas station nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese.
That's an old-timey disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that came back.
But speaking of botulism, as we're wrapping up, that's another TikTok thing where, pink sauce, where it was like,
let me just make this bottles?
And then like use, like, I don't know how to ship this. Yeah. And then like, it's not refrigerated. And then it's a huge risk of maybe one of the worst things that can happen with like all the nerve damage and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like Botox is like botulism.
Oh, honey, I know. I can't frown.
It's so, no, but but by all means use it. In a controlled environment.
Yeah. You can't tell, but I'm so upset right now.
But that's so scary. So it's like, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, go off, like be your own boss or whatever. Mm. But on the other hand, like, please don't feed people this.
Yeah, there's limitations to your...
I've eaten a lot of oysters from shopping carts. So I'm immune to it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
All right, Nicole and Yarvis, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
This is a very jingle-based podcast. Ooh,
that's fun. There's a lot of unison. I want to join. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Opinions are like casserole. Okay, no one said it with me, wait, but that's fine.
Let's three,
roll the
two,
clip.
One. Opinions are like casserole.
I thought it was going to be a 3-2-1 go.
Okay, okay, I'll do that.
I
see. Yeah, 3-2-1 go.
Opinions are like casseroles.
God, that felt good. It feels good having a permanent third host.
Permanent. Yeah, I'm here every week.
All right, let's listen to some voicemails. Wait, can we get into the note that I had written on our research document that we
what?
Never got to get to?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I just simply wrote Hidden Media Economies, journalist David Ferrier, tickled documentary on competitive endurance tickling.
What does this have to do with food waste?
I could not remember why I wrote that or where it tied in. Hidden Media Economies, because I think that's like Rick Lax
right.
Productions. That's a hidden media economy.
Right.
Similar to the competitive endurance tickling media economy, maybe?
Which is something that sounds like a combination of words you just made up now.
No, that's the official. It's what they have to call it so people don't think it's a sex thing.
Endurance tickling sounds horrific. That is torture to me.
And why do you add
I'd be really good
competition
at it.
To it?
Right. I don't know.
Fun. Nicole, you should sign up for competitive. Well, they mostly want young, fit men.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm like, I can turn my tickle on and off.
What?
Like, you can try to tickle me and like I have no reaction.
Do I have to?
No, you don't. You don't need to do it. Don't touch me. You don't need to touch us.
That's a thing that, like, in school, like going to public school. If you ever talked about how you were good at being tickled, someone would tickle you, and so I'd just be like, "No, no, I just I'm laughing just thinking about it. Don't touch me, please."
Let's get to that first opinion.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There's less of an opinion, more of a question. Specifically for Josh, but Nicole, if you know, please answer.
Thank you so much for that.
Do y'all know? I'm from North Georgia. Do y'all know why in Georgia, Atlanta especially, we eat our wings with fried rice? I have a few theories about Korean immigration here, but I don't know. If y'all can figure it out, please let me know.
I have never heard of.
Me either.
I'm going to do a quick Google real quick. Y'all talk amongst yourselves.
Well, okay.
Issue some hypotheses.
So I'm going to say something that maybe it's going to get me flamed in the comments here.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to school in Atlanta for 4 years.
Okay.
And I ate a lot of wings.
How old were you?
I was 18 to 21.
Got it.
GT or Emory?
Georgia Tech, yeah.
Nice.
And I never experienced this, but I feel like maybe I wasn't going to the real spots.
I'm going to say strip club culture.
Oh. You know, but what's it called?
Magic City.
They got the Lou Williams wings on there.
Yep.
You find a lot of these combinations that people would find quote unquote weird, and there's a lot of debate about it. One big one is fried fish and spaghetti. We're talking about red sauce spaghetti, which is served at a lot of soul food restaurants. There's a great soul food spot in Culver City that serves lasagna as a side.
Doulan's?
No. It's a new one that actually it burnt down recently, which sucks.
Oh.
But you could just get lasagna as a side, which is cool.
Sounds
and it's
good.
Just one of these sort of a lot of chicken and waffles. Atlanta is known as a hotbed, and as the origin goes, black church services were so long, they would start in the morning, they would just go through the evening, and they would serve people food. And so there are waffles at breakfast, and then they'd have leftover waffles, no food waste.
Hey.
And then the fried chicken would come out during lunch, and people would be like, well, we still got the waffles left over, we're going to eat it.
Brilliant.
And so that's at least the origin story. So fried rice and wings, it might just have something to do with it. Could be maybe Korean restaurateurs opened up Chinese American restaurants, sure. which, you know, that's popular in freaking every culture. Every culture loves Chinese food.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if wings were also something that Atlanta is definitely known for, maybe Korean Chinese restaurant owners started frying up wings and starting with fried rice, but that's something I'd never heard of and it's fascinating.
Yeah, it does make sense to me that if an item is just popular in general in an area, you would just throw it on your menu to get the extra business.
That's the way to do it.
And then maybe people just like put two and two together, or maybe some entrepreneurial mind just decided to combo them. Combo number one, chicken and fried rice. It sounds good. Like there's nothing about that sounds like it wouldn't work to me.
Sure.
No.
Especially with the right spice combo.
Yeah, I mean, fried rice, it's a delicious, like cheap filling food. That's a great meal. Wings and fried rice. Yeah. I'm in. I never heard of that though. Thank you for illuminating us on that. I Googled it and a Reddit post just came up saying best chicken wings, fried rice and fries combo in Atlanta. And the first comment is just, that's very specific.
Mm.
And yeah, so it must be a thing. Fun. Do we have any of those weird combos in LA? I'm thinking like the sushi bars that'll have kimchi on the menu because a lot of sushi bars are owned by Korean people in LA.
Mm.
But I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those combos, specifically like Korean-Japanese combos.
Yeah, that's
which is great for me because sometimes you have a little craving of both cuisine.
100%. I'll think on it more.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
I am a long time... No.
Short time.
I've been listening to Hot Dog is a Sandwich for 1 year.
Oh,
wow.
And I like this podcast.
I like you, buddy.
My controversial opinion is that any like white meat, say breaded chicken or breaded fish, needs to be dipped in applesauce.
Whoa.
Needs?
Hey-o.
Needs.
Nicole, flame this child. Get him.
No, I'm not. No. That's up to you, buddy. I hope you're doing well in language class.
Nothing, like, again, that doesn't sound offensive. I think the one place where I draw the line is needs.
Yeah, I agree. The needs was the kicker for me.
I will say, though, I had so many thoughts like that when I was a kid and when I was discovering what I loved about food. And I think the thing that they identified very accurately is that fat and starch loves acid, right? So you get something like even if it's baked, there's generally some sort of oil on the breading, right?
Sure.
And so you have a breaded piece of meat, you know, I would put something like tartar sauce on fried fish.
Right.
What you want in the tartar sauce is the acidity from the pickles, the mayonnaise, capers, lemon, whatever. Apples tend to have a lot of acidity. So I think what you've identified is actually really, really smart that you love acidic foods with, you know, that type of main entree.
Yeah.
And so that's very astute of you. I will go home. I will try this.
Okay.
That's nice.
Maybe this is going to sound like a ridiculous combination, but like when I was younger, I was at my best friend's house and his family was Jewish and it was like around a holiday time. I'm not sure which.
This is a Hanukkah story, baby.
Well, yeah. And I had never had a latke before.
Mm-hmm.
and like someone told me like, put the latke in the applesauce.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean? And then I tried it and I was like, whoa, this is great.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And there's something about the friedness of the like potato that like feels like it would fit into like a fried chicken situation. So in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that seems fine.
100%.
Applesauce, I'm in. Controversial opinion of mine. I drink applesauce.
Yeah. No,
I hate applesauce.
I love it.
I'm a huge fan. Great way to consume an apple in 3 seconds.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I despise applesauce.
Ooh, why? So. Wait, even on latkes?
Oh my gosh, no. I'm a ketchup on latkes girl. I've told you this.
We both grew up.
Two different kinds of juice.
Dipping latkes. Well, no, yeah. I grew up dipping latkes in ketchup as a form. Not that I had to try very hard to assimilate, but that was one of my assimilative things.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is McDonald's hash browns.
Yeah.
But now I'm firmly sour cream and applesauce on the same bite.
I can't. I just don't know what it is. The texture is so mealy and it reminds me of like vomit. I can't do it.
I get that, but I remind myself that texture is motivated by the freshness of an apple. So it like,
okay.
if that texture were I was experiencing with anything else, I don't think I would be on board, but you can't go wrong with an apple.
I like apple juice. I like a raw apple that I can crunch into and I like the juice. The applesauce in the middle.
That's almost the only form of apple you don't like is sauced.
Yes.
So next time you're chewing on an apple, you take a bite of an apple, you chew it. Right before you swallow, you go, I just made applesauce.
I'm going to go like this.
I think about that way too much.
Like mouthwash.
Nice opinion.
All right. So I absolutely love you guys and the podcast, and totally wish I knew you in real life.
Sounds like Brittany.
Come find us.
Because y'all seem like you'd be the best friends that could ever have.
Get that GeoGuessr guy to find us.
Anyway, done with that lonely depressiveness. Hot take. Ketchup belongs on white people tacos. And by white people tacos, I mean hamburger with the taco seasoning that you get from the grocery store. Cheese and lettuce. With white people tacos? I mean, if you think about it, it's practically a hamburger on a tortilla. Let me know.
Jarvis, you had strong opinions. Yes.
Well, so you know what? When she said hamburger, I wasn't thinking of ground hamburger. I was just thinking of like a hamburger patty, and I was like, what's going on?
Well, so actually has origins in Mexico City. A journalist named Jose Ralat, I believe, wrote for Texas Monthly, wrote about the origins of the hamburger taco because of something that was going viral on TikTok, was like a Big Mac taco.
Sure, I've seen those.
Mexico City, they actually have like deep origins.
I'm going to Mexico City soon, so I'll have to find.
I'll legitimately send you the article. I think he shouts out the original place.
Oh yeah, I'm down. I'll go on in the field reporting.
Did you grow up eating like the hard shell tacos?
A bit, a little bit. I definitely had mini flour tortilla tacos before I ever had a corn tortilla taco. But I do feel like a switch flipped in my brain, and maybe just a little, my little elitism jumped out where I'm like, especially like living, I used to live in San Francisco and there were just so many good like tacos around.
The Mission.
And I lived in the Mission.
Oh, there you go.
So it was just like, I can't go back. I would like buy like arepas from like a guy in a truck, like outside my apartment, and was not thinking about how the food was being kept. I was just like, it looks good. Same. I'm just going to not question it.
Same. Don't question.
Yeah. It was by a truck. You're thinking of a food truck. It was a Ford F-150.
Dude, tamales, tacos de canasta, pupusas. Yeah. From all sorts of shopping carts and just random coolers on wheels on a dolly.
Yeah. 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 I'm in.
I have a lot of trust. I would have eaten the pink sauce.
So ketchup?
So ketchup, First We Feast actually produced a really great documentary on the Black Taco movement in Los Angeles.
I was going to talk about Sky's Tacos.
Sky's Tacos, Taco Mel. I mean, Keith from All Flavor No Grease, he does a kind of different variety, but a lot of them are actually ground turkey as well. And a lot of people do put ketchup on them.
That's right.
And also, if you think about taco sauce, so you're getting like picante sauce, but not paste picante sauce, but taco sauce from a jar. Ortega is the brand that does it. Taco sauce is literally an invention for white people that was just a hybrid of ketchup and actual like salsa roja.
So wild, yeah.
And so a lot of this has roots that go back 50, 60 years. And so I'm all for it. But I do think it's funny when people say, you know, white people tacos, because I'm like, they're kind of just like non-Mexican tacos.
Yeah.
Because it was also big in like the Black community, especially in South LA.
I was going to bring up Skye's, and I actually had their ground beef tacos, and it was sweet and a little acidic. And I'm like, there's got to be ketchup in this. And I didn't go up and ask them, but like I tasted it. And I'm like, with my table, I was like, you guys taste the ketchup? And they're like, yeah. And it was actually decent. Do I like it more or less than like a street taco? I don't really know. But there's like precedent for it to exist. I wouldn't just put straight ketchup on like a white people taco though.
I probably wouldn't either. But I would put like probably a pretty sugary salsa on it, right?
We have so many sauces.
If you putting like salsa verde on a white people taco doesn't taste right.
Yeah,
at
that's
all.
True.
Like it's
that's
like
true.
Putting
that's a good point.
Yeah. I agree with
it's
you.
It's like putting real hot sauce on a Taco Bell burrito. It's like, no,
I need
the tomato paste and the corn syrup.
What?
Yeah.
I love using hot sauces from like my house to put it on the Taco Bell.
Don't taste right.
All right, do you just use the regular Taco Bell sauce?
Yeah, fire. I think Taco Bell fire sauce.
I like the fire sauce.
Taco Bell fire sauce.
I like adding like I tear a little tiny little hole and I just dab it on every bite.
Same.
It's very good.
The first bite, you just got to go. So it kind of hits your palate first. You sort of force it in there.
Yeah, sure.
God, I want Taco Bell now. All right, one more. Meg, we got time for one more?
Hey, Josh and Nicole, this is Tommy from Aurora, Illinois. I'm calling to see if you guys can help me settle a debate my brother and I have been having for the last few months. So in his opinion, he thinks that chilaquiles are a nacho. Mm. And in my opinion, they are closer to a lasagna just with replacing the noodles with a tortilla chip. If you could help us figure this one out, that'd be great. Love the pod. Bye.
I know what this is.
It's just like I was not expecting him to say it's closer to a lasagna.
Have you guys seen the lasagna soup TikTok things? where they take up the lasagna noodles and they put them in the soup and then they pick it up and it's like this big starchy tomato-y mess.
No.
Chilaquiles is lasagna soup. It's not lasagna. Oh, it's not nachos. It's
like
lasagna soup.
Deconstructed lasagna soup.
Yep. It's lasagna soup. That's it. I will not be taking any questions at this time.
There's so much there, y'all. There's so much to explicate here. So if we wanted to find a Mexican equivalent of lasagna, something that's layered, you could look at New Mexican style enchiladas. Enchiladas typically in Mexico are not baked, right? It's something that the tortillas are fried in oil, then they're dipped in sauce, rolled, and that's it. And that's the way that I prefer them. A lot of Americans tend to bake them. A lot of that comes from New Mexico tradition. But the difference in New Mexico is they are typically stacked. They're not rolled. So, and again, New Mexico,
who makes
I have a friend
stacks?
Who, her family dates back to 500 years ago in New Mexico. So that's a very valid food culture that I would call a part of Mexican food culture. So there's that. Chilaquiles are like kind of thousands of years old.
Whoa. Love chilaquiles.
Chilaquiles is a Nahuatl word. Like it predates the Spanish conquistadors showing up to the shores. It did not look like it does today with, you know, Tostitos chips sauteed in the La Victoria salsa. But that's actually like a really, really old dish. And then nachos were, gosh, like 50, 60 years ago. A chef literally named Ignacio or Nacho in Piedras Negras, Coahuila, I believe. So I think they have completely divergent histories, albeit looking similarly now. I don't think lasagna is anywhere close to chilaquiles.
Do you think they're enchiladas?
At all. Yeah. New Mexican enchiladas are the Mexican lasagna.
Wait, what were the... like the Tostito chip equivalent historically for chilaquiles. Maybe you said that and I just wasn't.
No. So, I mean, it probably, chilaquiles just comes from the word like greens and chilies because they would just make a sauce with greens and chilies and put it on tortillas. And so tortillas actually predate leavened bread by thousands of years. Mm. So do tamales actually. Tamales is a really cool one. It just likely wasn't
just
fried
like
into crispy chips.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that still sounds good.
Yeah, because processing cooking oil would have probably been harder back then. They didn't have a lot of big animals to make lard.
Sure.
Probably just delicious fresh tortillas, chilies, and greens.
That sounds, I mean, like that's a winning formula.
That's
you know?
$17 brunch dish, you know?
Oh, right,
it's lasagna soup.
It's lasagna soup. All right, I think that about wraps it up. Jarvis, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I feel very educated. I learned so much today.
Where can the people find you?
At my house. No, you can find me on YouTube. If you just search for Jarvis, I think it's youtube.com/Jarvis. I also have a podcast called Sad Boys, a comedy podcast about feelings. And catch me wherever.
Oh yeah, we have a podcast. It's called this one. You're listening to it. We got new episodes of it out every Wednesday, wherever you get the podcast. Every Sunday, the video comes out on the YouTube.
If you want to be featured on Opinions or Casseroles, you can hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1. The number again is 833-DOG-POD-1.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check out Mythical Kitchen. You know where it is. See y'all next time.